Thank you for joining us for another episode of That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. Today we talk about the second hermetic principle of the Kybalion, which is correspondence. As above, so below. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome everybody to another episode of That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. We are joined once again by the lovely Fatima.
Hi, everyone.
Now, I'm going to have to stop calling you a special guest because you're more like a co-host now.
Yeah.
Right?
I love that.
So, we're going over the second idea, law, rule, tenet. Of the Kybalion. it's hermetic philosophy. There's a lot of dead space here, but I'm trying to find the page, so you'll have to bear with me, audience. I've been reading a little bit more into this book, and we have come to the second one, the second rule, the second law, the second tenet, the second edict, the second scripture, the second verse, the second chapter of the second time of, this is a train wreck, this one. This is not going very well at all.
Should we remind everybody what the first principle was?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we can reiterate each one as we go along, like through all the seven mm-hmm. principles. So the first principle is mentalism. That is that the universe is mental. The second one, and here it is. You've been waiting for this. You've been waiting for me to name what the second principle is. I know that you're anxious to hear it. It's called correspondence. Mm. And it's one of my favorite ones, one of my favorite quotes. And this is the one that you've probably heard before. This is a very popular phrase nowadays. And it's, quote, as above, so below. As below, so above. So what that means is everything that's going on at the largest scale, at the macroscopic scale, is also going on at the smallest scale, at the microscopic. As within, so without. Mm. As above, so below. So when you hear that, you're still very new to this, mm-hmm. as I am kind of new to it. I've been looking into this stuff for a while now, but what do you think as a newcomer to the hermetic philosophy, as a newcomer to the seven principles, what do you think about it when you hear as above, so below?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind is that we are one with the earth. But it also makes me think of like the biodiversity of our world. If you sit on a beach, what do you see? What's the first thing you think of when you're sitting? If you imagine yourself sitting at the beach, what do you think of?
Well, I see my feet because I'm laid out on the sand. So mm-hmm. that's the first thing I see is my feet. And then I see sand and then I see water.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a good visual.
Thank you.
So what's cool about that is that that's kind of the bigger picture, right? Maybe your feet are a part of that bigger world of the beach. Because you're viewing your feet and you're viewing the water, you're viewing the sand.
Mm-hmm.
But there's way more going on under the surface. So if you look just at one small spot of the sand, if you look long enough, you're going to see movement there. You might see different insects. You might find shells, or you might see crabs or things going on. And that's a whole other world.
Yeah, it is.
But it's still a part of our world. Like, it's still a part of the bigger picture. So that, I don't know, those are the things that come to my mind, is that there's always so much more.
There's more going on beneath the surface.
Yeah.
And then there's more going on out, like, on a larger scale, too,
mm-hmm.
that we can't witness, we don't really know about. We can't really see it, we can't touch it,
mm-hmm.
but it's going on, and we may be able to observe it with telescopes or something like that, but it just keeps going, it keeps going on and on and on. And this reminds me of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, where the Sephira is, I guess, the one at the bottom. I don't know if that's considered the first one or the last one.
Can you explain what a Sephira is for all of us?
It's a sphere on the tree, on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. And each sphere has its own name and attributes and representation. They all have their own planet, you know, one of the seven ruling planets in classic occult studies. And the sphere at the bottom is called Malkuth, which means the kingdom. And so that would represent the earth, that would represent the flesh, right? And all the other sephira above that are when you start to cross into the other realm, the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And that tree of life is another representation of as above, so below, because eventually you make it to Kether, which means crown. And that's the top of the tree of life. Now, that crown could simply be another Malkuth. Once you get to Kether, that might just be the base level of the next realm,
hmm.
right? It's like it just keeps going on and on and on. And I don't know if it's like recreating itself, or I don't know what the nature of that reality is, or if these are just different realities that we are in. But, you know, or you could go the other way. You could start at Malkuth, at our base level right now on this kingdom of earth, the flesh, right? The corporal world, this mortal coil, as Shakespeare calls it. And you could start at Malkuth and go downward, and then that's the crown of another world below you.
Hmm.
And like an abyss or something like that, right? So then you can move down, possibly. But who knows? Like, I like that visual, though. I like thinking about that, and that helps me to understand this principle a little bit, on a little bit deeper level. But it's very interesting. And then there's, in this book that I'm reading, there are other people that wrote about this. And one of them was Edward Maitland. So he offered parallels for the Kybalion seven principles. He wrote his own interpretation of it. And he says that number two, referring to the correspondence, quote, from the oneness of original being comes as a corollary the law of correspondence between all planes or spheres of existence, in virtue of which the macrocosm is as the microcosm, the universal as the individual, the world as man, and man as God.
Hmm.
And I think that these principles are teaching us a certain something here, like a one idea. There is one idea that you can pull from this, from these teachings. And he just said it right there. Man as God,
mm-hmm.
and God as man. And I believe that this is what Jesus was saying. This is what he was teaching. And I believe that Jesus was trying to teach everybody this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he was to be worshipped as a God, but he claimed that he was God, right? But he didn't claim that no one else was God, right? I don't know. These are things that people kill each other over.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not having that here. There will be no killings.
No, no killings
over doctrine, because I think that that's silly and it's ridiculous that people argue over this stuff and that they judge each other so harshly over scriptural doctrines and things that they don't even understand where their interpretations came from.
Well, and there are also things that have been translated from a different language. So we're at the mercy of the translator as well. So it's like we're having to trust that too.
Right. And the Bible was written in Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew, and God knows what else it was written, and what language was interpreted from there. Probably they spoke in ancient Babylon, whatever mm-hmm. the Assyrians, whatever language they spoke, who knows, right? And who knows how many times this mythology has been passed down and from what cultures, right? We trace this Hermetic philosophy from Egypt. And then it's believed that maybe Egypt got it from Atlantis. And where did Atlantis get it from? Atlanteans. Who knows? But it is very interesting. And I think that it is teaching us that we are God.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the flesh is God. Not that this world is God. But that that God is experiencing life through the filter of a human body, right? But he's doing it through everybody that's alive. And I would like to believe that. I don't know if that's true. I know that it's true for me, and I know that it's true for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we both realize this, that we are God.
Yes. Spooky. Yeah, I think that's not a difficult concept to grasp if we think about prayer
mm-hmm.
and we think about God can hear, if we are accepting the fact that our prayers are being heard by God and we can say them in our own head and not out loud for the world to hear, then it's not too difficult to say that God is in us, that God is experiencing this world through each individual. That is yes. actually not so difficult to think of, because we're already practicing these internal prayers that we, so many of us feel we are being heard. Well, how?
Yeah.
Because God is within us.
Right.
We are God. Like, I am God in that sense.
Right.
But and as you said, people will kill one another over these yeah. concepts.
But if you believed that person that you disagreed with or whatever was God also, you'd probably be less likely, less inclined to kill them.
Yeah.
If you saw everybody as God.
Yeah.
If you saw everybody as like, oh, that is me. That's me living a different life.
Right.
If you saw everything that way, you would understand the golden rule that Jesus tried to teach everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Love, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love yourself, love your enemies, right? If we truly understood that, we would understand that, oh, that person over there that I don't like is God.
Yeah.
Just like I am. So maybe I should not kill them. Maybe I should not steal from them. Maybe I should not hurt them. Maybe I should be kind to them. Maybe I should think that they are going to be the best version of themselves today. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should allow them to do that in my presence.
Yeah.
Because they also are God, just like I am.
Yeah.
And maybe when I allow them to be their best, the best that they can be today, they'll allow me to be my best person today.
I like that.
Thank you.
Everyone likes that.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are too kind.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
That I don't remember where I heard this from, but many years ago, I came across this idea that when we're encountering strangers or even people we know, that person might be an angel. And I don't remember where I heard this, but it was like the message of that was basically the same what you're saying, like treat them with kindness, even if you're disagreeing with who they are or you think they're a bad person or whatever, but that could be an angel testing you.
Yes.
In that moment. And I don't know what, we should take from that. Like, are there angels walking amongst us? Maybe, but I liked that idea.
Right.
I liked that idea because it helps put myself in check in terms of how I'm viewing other people. Like,
yeah, because you don't really know who someone is, right? Based on their looks, or
yeah,
you don't really know, and that is a good way to look at things too. That, you know, maybe it's an angel in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an angel disguised as a human. And when you treat this person the way you're supposed to, with kindness, the way that everybody feels good, you know, treating each other with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that it feels good. It's because that's what you're supposed to do, right? So when you treat this person that's an angel in disguise, then you get the reward of feeling good, but you also probably get some other type of reward, like maybe a little bit of... some gold, you know, some riches,
money.
Yeah, good fortune.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, and it's just a good principle to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think bringing it back to this, the law of correspondence helps to remind us that the planes of correspondence. So, and I'm going to read a little bit out of this book, and then we're going to close it out. So. The great second hermetic principle embodies the truth that there is a harmony, agreement, and correspondence between the several planes of manifestation, life, and being. This truth is a truth because all that is included in the universe emanates from the same source, and the same laws, principles, and characteristics apply to each unit, or combination of units of activity, as each manifests its own phenomenon upon this its own plane. And I think I'll stop it there for now, and we will maybe, who knows, maybe we'll return back to these things once we've read through this whole book. Maybe we'll return back to all seven principles. Who knows what we're going to do? We don't know what we're going to do, and that's one of the exciting parts of the show. But I'm really excited to talk about the Kybalion, because I've been wanting to talk about this and learn about it for a long time. And now I'm kind of drawn more to it in this moment that I find myself in. And I enjoy sharing it with you, Fatima.
Thank you. I love this. I can't wait for the next talk.
Yes. And thank you for joining us once again for another episode of That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. Stick around for more. We got 5 more episodes to do, because there's 7.
Yay.
See you for number 3. Bye.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. Stick around, because we will be covering the third hermetic principle, which is vibration.